This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land of Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about those reports with Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I, discuss the impact on the marketplace with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Take a look at the cash grain movement in Everly, Iowa. That's the northwestern part of the state. With Andy Schaefer out at the Andersons, and then wrap up our discussion with a quick look at the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. Oh, and I almost forgot, not really. Hey, call in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support, because, of course, this is Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up on this Friday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down 8.5 cents today at $3.82¾. The March at $3.93½, 8¼ lower. And the May at $4 even, down 7¾. July, 7¾ lower at $4.05¼. And December at $4.07¾, down a nickel. Soy complex bean futures at $8.85¾, up 4½. January, $8.90½, up 4¼. And the March up 4¼ at $8.94¼. July futures 9.05½, 4½ higher. And next year's November at $8.95, up 2½ cents. Wheat futures finished down 2¼, and the soft red at 5.09¼. July down 2 at 5.26, and the hard red July down 2¾ at $5.34½. Bean meal futures up $3.10 at $3.06.90. The bean oil unchanged at $28.17. Live cattle futures in Chicago, October contract currently a dime higher at $131.27½. December at $137.85. That's up a buck, and the October feeders at $189.37½, or $1.50 higher. November at $185.22½, up $1.12½. Lean hogs for the day in the October, 2½ cents lower. That's at $73.97½. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website at willag.org or at willpledge.org, or 217-244-9455, and make your pledge of financial support to WILL Ag.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Here, what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil is up 23 cents at $49.60 a barrel. Ethanol futures are down a penny and 4 cents at $1.54¾. The price of a gallon of gasoline on the wholesale, or RBOB, at $1.41¼ is about 6 tenths of a cent higher. And heating oil, or diesel fuel, is a penny and 2 tenths of a cent higher at $1.58¼. Natural gas at $2.51¼ of a cent a gallon. That's a penny and 4 tenths of a cent lower, rather higher for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up just 2 points at 16,967. The dollar down 0.522 at 94.88. And gold futures are $10.20 higher on this Friday at $1,154.50. Have you dialed in yet? I sure do hope so, but if not, now is the time. We're on our way to 50 extra pledges in support of ag for the day. We have this hour to pull this off. I haven't looked to see how many we've actually gotten in, so the answer is no, we have not made it. And you are responsible for helping us out. Please do that at 217-244-9455. If we get 50 in for the day, and that's a large number, 30-35 is probably as many as we can get in any single day, but if we get 50, and I think we can do this, Mike Zuzlow will put an extra $300 in our kitty. That's no small number for our ag programming here at Illinois Public Media, and I'm urging you right now, hey, just do it. It's really quick, simple, easy. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Don't really care what amount, just as long as you make the pledge.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world on this Friday afternoon, the 9th day of October. In just a few moments, we'll talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. In fact, this morning, he made a challenge to the listeners of these programs that have 50 of you called in today, and that's a fairly large number, so I need you to call right now at 217-244-9455. If 50 of you call, including you, that means that Mike Zuzulo will put an extra $300 in our bank accounts. Now, that's a really big deal, but you have to call. Don't care how much you give. Pick a spot, a level. I don't care whether it's $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, $100, $120, $240, $360, $640. You pick a number. $1,000 would be great, but you need to make the phone call right now at 217-244-9455 because, of course, we do our business, I hope, really well. And that business is markets and weather and USDA reports. Speaking of which, I spoke to Daryl Good this morning just after the United States Department of Agriculture released the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates and the crop production reports. I asked him to summarize those reports and suggested, well, that there are a lot of changes, but still not that many changes.
Well, in the case of corn, USDA did lower their forecast of harvested acreage just a bit, by just a little over 400,000 acres. At the same time, raised the yield forecast by a half a bushel per acre up to 168. And that gives us a crop size of just over 13.5 billion bushels, about 30 million bushels smaller than the September forecast. On soybeans, a fairly large change in the forecast of harvested acreage dropped it by about 1.1 million acres from last month, raised the yield forecast only a tenth of a bushel to 47.2. As a result, the forecast of the crop size did come down by 47 million bushels compared to the September forecast.
And then the ending stocks figure?
In both corn and soybeans, the USDA did lower their forecast of ending stocks on corn by 31 million bushels, on soybeans by 25. And particularly in the case of soybeans, even though we have a smaller crop forecast, they did drop the export forecast by 50 million bushels. So beginning stocks weren't quite as large as estimated last month. The crop was smaller, but exports are not expected to be as robust as forecast last month.
Clearly, we had been lagging behind in exports of soybeans, but that's not been the case as of recent. Those numbers have jumped. USDA not convinced that we'll be able to keep the pace up, apparently.
I think that's right, and part of that is related to our pace of sales and shipments, but also we did see that USDA raised the forecast of the 2016 Brazilian harvest by 3 million tons, close to 100 million bushels, suggesting that that will be very competitive with U.S. soybean exports during the last half of the marketing year. So it's not only our slow pace, it's our kind of uncompetitive position because of currency values, and now with a much larger crop expected in Brazil, it doesn't paint a real friendly picture for U.S. soybean exports.
Yeah, CONAB and both USDA today said they'll have 100 million metric tons by the time we get to their harvest season at the end of the year.
Yeah, a very large crop, and all by all reports, they are expanding acreage to soybeans this year because soybeans are more competitive than other crops at this point.
9 years in a row they've expanded soybean acres.
Yeah,
they've been really moving very swiftly. And USDA recognized that earlier in the year, saying that they would surpass the United States as the number one soybean producer in the world in 2017.
Yeah, and it depending on how the U.S. responds for 2016, we could see them surpass us a little earlier. If they, in fact, harvest that 100 million metric ton crop and we see some setback in production next year, those numbers will get a lot closer together.
given all of the changes that were made today, and there were a significant number of changes, did it change anything?
You know, in my opinion, it didn't change the overall picture very much. A little bit tighter projected ending stocks, but certainly not forecasting a shortage of either crop, corn or soybeans. USDA did raise their projection of the average marketing year price of corn by a nickel. The soybean price forecast was unchanged, and that price remains higher than where the market is right now. So what we'll look at now is whether these numbers will change again by any appreciable amount in November. And the numbers I'll be watching most closely will be the soybean yield forecast. I think there's room for that number to get a little bit larger. And if it does, that's going to keep considerable pressure, particularly on soybean prices. It might be a little more friendly towards the corn situation. I think demand prospects are a little more promising there. We could see ending stocks come in smaller than currently projected.
Previous to this report, you had been of the idea that short-term rallies should be sold. Still there?
Still there. I think, you know, as long as we're looking at abundant supplies here, expanded production in South America, that sustained rallies are going to be difficult to find going forward, particularly before we get into the spring of 2016.
What do you call a rally in corn or soybeans today?
You know, I think when you're looking at soybeans, and we're talking in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 cents would be what I would call a short-term rally in that market.
And, so 9.10, 9.05, something like that?
Somewhere in the $9 range, November futures is probably what I would consider a rally at this point. Corn, you know, a dime, 15 cents is going to be what I consider strength at this point. I think we're going to be helped on both commodities by what appears to be a very strong basis and improving basis on both crops, even though the crops are large and harvest is quick. We have not seen pressure on basis to this point, and we might continue to see a stronger than normal basis in both markets.
Is that a function of the amount of storage that farmers have built over the past 5 years?
You know, it is a bit of a head scratcher in terms of why basis is seasonally strong in the face of large crops, record large crops, particularly for soybeans, and what appears to be a very rapid harvest. It does suggest that there is a good demand in the cash market for product, and if farmers are finding a place to put it rather than selling it at this point, then the market is having to bid up to get that to flow to market. And that certainly, I think, is the way I would interpret the strong basis at this point.
Thank you so much, Darryl.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Darryl Good, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the U of I. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention directly to the marketplace. Mike Zuzulow will join us to take a look at those things that have been happening in Chicago and what the impact might have been in the last several hours. And, Mike, I know you listened probably a little bit to what Darryl Good had to say. What was your view of the take in Chicago once these numbers came out from USDA as it pertains to crop production in WASDE?
I think the biggest thing was the corn received the best report from both a U.S. supply-demand basis and also a global supply-demand basis, Todd, and yet it was the leader to the downside and erased 2 weeks of gains just in one day today. So that is usually not a good sign, and it could be just spread unwinding because of the reaction of the report, where spread traders and funds were unwinding corn bean spreads and corn wheat spreads. And that would be okay. It's usually short-lived when that happens. But you wouldn't want to see the corn take out any more of its recent gains and especially drop below that 375, 372 area in the December contract because it did get the best fundamentals. And I'm assuming that if the soybeans are a buy here, and I did hear of some commercial buying out of South America after the report came out, then maybe that's weather related. And if the beans are seeing some commercial buying, then the downside in the corn should be very short-lived as well. So it put us on a really tepid pace and you know, kind of negative end of the week close, if you ask me. Nice outside markets, but not good after the USDA close, with the strongest thing falling the most.
So soybeans, on the other hand, did find a little support, some acreage reduction, although they did increase the yield for soybeans by a tenth of a bushel today.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that Dr. Good talked about was the basis, and I think one of the things that maybe we have to watch out for is if the yields do go up in soybeans in November, that may create less basis improvement in the soybeans. I think after today's report, summing it all up, is what's the best storable commodity? Well, it's still the corn, because major exporters around the world have about 4% less corn production than last year, and that ends up being about 15% less ending stocks than last year, and actually 18% less than the 13-14 marketing year. And so while the competitive supplies build in soybeans, and you and Dr. Good talked about that at length, we're actually losing competitors in the corn market. And so to me, it makes it a better storable commodity, because if the futures continues to break in corn due to beans, due to whatever it may be, I think the basis does have the ability to carry most of the heavy lifting and offset that.
All right. What about wheat as those numbers came out today?
Well, here again, the trade seemed to say, yes, you have bigger U.S. stocks, bigger than the trade estimate's average guess, bigger than the trade estimate average guess globally as well, but you've got enough weather issues on the minds of the trade right now. They're not willing to take out weather premium. And here is where I think the dollar plays the biggest role, because there's such a strong correlation between the wheat market and the dollar, and also the negative correlation between crude oil and the dollar. And the fact that the crude oil makes up such a large percentage of all these commodity indexes, that when the crude oil goes up, by default, the natural weight of that crude oil position on the index helps, and a rising tide lifts all boats, so to speak. So the investment side is not willing to give up on wheat, even though the supply-demand numbers were not good today. And so I think this is where corn probably has to walk a finer line and is not going to rely as much upon the wheat supply-demand fundamentals as much as it has been able to this past month. Could still get a really nice supportive feature out of the weather if we stay dry in Australia. Big numbers coming through in Australia as far as potential loss of their crop, and the same with the newly planted Ukrainian crop. They're talking about a third less number of acres potentially in Ukraine, and we're seeing a similar feature develop in Argentina and maybe even Brazil. So not saying it's not fundamentally supported for the wheat when it comes to weather. I'm saying that the supply-demand report today really doesn't get you there.
You mentioned the outside markets had a good week. What do you think of them, and where was it good?
Next week is the biggie, because China comes back from their holiday and they throw at us a lot of supply-demand, macro supply-demand fundamental data that if we have a good week in the Chinese stock market and equities markets, and that boils over into the emerging markets, that'll make another good week for the commodity sector and emerging markets as a whole. I think the best thing that happened this week, it was clearly the crude oil market being able to get above $50 and get to its best price since mid-July. I know that Syria has a lot to do with this. At least I feel like it has a lot to do with this, with the fact that the United States and Russia are on opposing sides. And you know, keep in mind, one of Russia's greatest goals right now is to raise the price of crude oil, because that just gets them out of recession. So they've got several different reasons for being in Syria right now. Among one of the major reasons is because they want to get that price of crude oil higher. So they don't mind the fact that crude's rallying on this Mideast turmoil.
Hey, thanks so much. Hey, and also thank you for bellying up today. I appreciate the extra $300. I think we're going to try to make the 50 people today.
I think we can do it. You guys can do it. I know prices are low right now, but we need Will Radio.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd.
Mike Zuzalos with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. And if 50 of you call in today at 217-244-9455 or go online if you're listening later, we will be able to make that 50 folks in pledging in support of ag programming right here on Illinois Public Media. And Mike Zuzalos, Michael put an extra $300 in our back pocket. You can get in his back pocket. Help us out, too, at 217-244-9455. Do it right now. Just dial the number. It's quick and simple and easy. 217-244-9455. In today's agricultural news, a federal appellate court today suspended the nationwide implementation of WOTUS, or the Waters of the United States rule, that until further notice. The decision to stay the rule was granted by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati, says the Chief Environmental Counsel for the National Pork Producers, Michael Fromica.
The court did a couple of things. It had to decide, is there a substantial likelihood that we were going to win? And the court found that there was, that it was very likely that at the end of the day, the EPA rule does not comply with what the Supreme Court had previously said with regard to what is a jurisdictional water of the U.S., what is a substantial nexus.
The ruling also allows for consideration of the many pending WOTUS cases to eventually be decided. Controversial rule went into effect August the 28th. Well, the FAO Food Price Index averaged 156.3 points in September. That's up 1 point from its sharply reduced August value, but still 18.9% less than a year ago. The Food and Agriculture Organizations of the United Nations reported sugar and dairy products firmed last month. Other commodities remained close to or slightly below their respective August levels. The cereal price index averaged 154.8 points in September, nearly unchanged from August. The vegetable oil price at 134.2 points was marginally below the previous month, but still the lowest level since March of 2009. And finally, the sugar price index averaged 168.4 points. That's up 3.2% from the previous month. And finally today, at Kennedy International Airport, you'll find a potato farm. JetBlue has sprouted the farm at Terminal 5 of the New York airport to promote New York agriculture and provide a green space for travelers. The T5 farm was created through a partnership of JetBlue and Terra brand. The T5 farm will yield JetBlue potatoes like those used to make the Terra Blues. Terra Blues have been the official snack of JetBlue since the airline launched. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Andy Schaefer not available today, although he is texting me at the moment. He just was out of the office when I was trying to get hold of him. We'll try to get hold of him again next week. In the mean space, if you get the opportunity to dial in right now at 217-244-9455, please do. And, well, that'll help out a whole lot because we're looking at 50 folks dialing in support of agriculture. We're getting pretty close. I'm almost positive I can see some of them come in, not all of them. And we're getting really close. So if you dial in right now at 217-244-9455, we'll make this. We'll pick up an extra $300. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. 217-244-9455. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast. And then don't forget about Commodity Week at 2:36 this afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's Moldy Cheese Day. It's also Grinder Hoagie and Hero Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1806, Benjamin Banneker died, an American inventor, mathematician, and compiler of almanacs. He was the first to record the arrival of the 17-year locust. The periodical cicada is usually solitary, but from time to time it migrates in vast swarms, which causes extreme damage to crops. In 1865, the first underground oil pipeline was laid between Oil Creek and Pitt Hole, Pennsylvania. The 5.5-mile, 2-inch pipeline delivered 80 barrels of oil an hour to railway terminals in Pitt Hole. In 1906, Joseph Farwell Glidden died, an American inventor. Glidden was an Illinois farmer when he developed his design of the first commercial barbed wire, a product that would transform the West. Glidden's barbed wire opened the prairie to large-scale farming and made him one of the wealthiest men in the U.S. And in 1996, the world's largest grilled cheese sandwich was made. It weighed in at 3,000 pounds and was a publicity stunt for Kraft Foods. The sandwich measured 11 feet by 11 feet and was equivalent to about 600 individual sandwiches. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. This is Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're wrapping up now, the last time that I'll really have the opportunity to make a request of you to make a donation in support of agricultural programming here on Illinois Public Media. This is really simple to do. If you do it today, if you do it right now, we'll put an extra $300 in the kitty. That from Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. You heard him a bit earlier in the program. All you have to do is dial 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. And make your pledge financially to the programming content that supports you at Ag at willag.org. Again, you can go to willag.org, you can go to willpledge.org, or you can dial 217-244-9455. But however you do it, you need to do it right now. We have till right at 3 o'clock Central Time, so about another half hour in order for you to make that pledge of financial support to our programming here at Illinois Public Media. It's no small amount of money, $300 to WILL, and I know that you've had a tough time over the last year, year and a half. Still, I'd like you to climb on board for the day. 50 of you. We're trying to get 50 extra folks for this day. That's no small number. Actually, it's a really large number. And in this time, it would be a huge show of support for the ag programming that comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We try really hard to bring you the best programming. People like Daryl Good, who you heard earlier, every time we have one of these reports, I get a chance to talk with him. He comes downstairs to my office in Mumford Hall, and we have a discussion about the marketplace. In fact, USDA Report Days, I think, is one of the days that we really shine. Your chance to visit our website, see the numbers as quickly as you can possibly get them from USDA within a few seconds of their release at willag.org or on our at Commodity Week Twitter feed. You can listen to our programming content at willag.org very quickly. Daryl Good's been on that website for a while today. All of these things, I hope, are important to you and make a really big difference. If they do, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Do it right now and pledge your financial support to Illinois Public Media. Now, here's Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute with today's agricultural weather forecast.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute at the University of Illinois. October so far has been warm and dry. The statewide average temperature is about 1 degree above average. October is usually the month when we see our first fall frost. The average dates are earliest in the north, obviously, and are usually around October 7th. In central Illinois, the dates are closer to October 15th, and in southern Illinois, it's usually around October 21st. And in most years, we see frost within about 2 weeks of those dates. According to the National Weather Service forecast, the upcoming week will see more fall-like weather except for a burst of heat on Sunday. Highs on Saturday will be in the 60s before warming into the 70s and low 80s on Sunday. Next week will be a little milder with temperatures on most days going into the 70s. Except for Monday morning, the rest of the time the lows will be in the 40s in the north and in the low to mid-50s in the south. There's no significant chance of rain in the next 7 days. Looking at next weekend and beyond, temperatures are expected to remain above average as the really cold air stays in Canada. According to the models, there is no organized systems moving through the state until around the 21st.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute at the University of Illinois.